Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to No Spin Rodeo, and this is the golden episode. In case you're wondering, it's the big 5-0. 5-0. That's right. We're going to talk about 5-0 because this is our 50th episode, and I'm super excited. And I'm also super excited that this is our second episode to be live on YouTube. And we're going to continue to build out this video stuff. And if you guys are listening to the podcast, you should really check out the YouTube, because we had one graphic in the first show. We've got like four this time. I mean, we're killing it. And then we're going to get like funny pictures and stuff. So it's just going to continue to get better. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, of course, our team members of No Spin Rodeo, our producer and director, Greg Teagarden. Hello, Greg.
Hey, I took over the control station today. I'm sitting here in the headquarters.
Yeah, did you have to raise the seat up, or was the legs band good for you? Because I'm a short guy.
Yeah, I had to tilt the camera up a little bit.
Oh, okay. And then, now I got reprimanded on this, so I'm going back. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the first lady of pro rodeo journalism, Miss Kendra. Look at her, look at me. See, if you're not watching this on YouTube, you don't see the side eye. You got to get on. Kendra, good afternoon.
This after last time you called me a broom riding stiletto slinger. I'm glad you're being nice today, because
I said you rode a shark. That's technically the last thing I said. Did you ride your shark around?
Fair. The woolly mammoth, the shark. Anyway, nice to see you guys.
I had to convince her to crawl on the woolly mammoth. I went to her in Vegas and said, hey, we're going to get on the woolly mammoth outside. She goes, oh, okay. I said, no, I'm really serious. Are you serious? I said, yeah, we really are. How are we going to get up there? I said, you just hang on for the ride. It's 50. And so I thought this would be a cool little way to start coffee time. We've got a really cool show with a really cool crossfire. New name for Point of View, because when we went to video, we changed some stuff up. But the number 50. Okay, I think this stuff's kind of cool. And Kendra, if you're watching, she'll probably give me the side eye. First, do you know who's on the $50 bill? What president's on the $50 bill?
What I know about the $50 bill is you do not take them or carry them, according to John W. Jones Jr., period, the end. Never have one on you, or you might die today. That's what I know about $50 bills. I won't take one to this day. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's Ulysses S. Grant. What about the 50-cent piece? The 50-cent piece features, now this is current news, little hint, current news. Okay, John F. Kennedy's on that. The Roman number for 50, the letter for 50 in the Roman. You too? I'm killing it.
The things
L.
you find interesting.
I was about ready to go L.
L.
L stands for something else too, Tommy Joe, as people find this so fascinating. Let's
okay,
move.
Whatever. I'm not done yet. I'm finishing my stuff and you can side-eye me all you want. 50, when you turn 50, here's the cool thing. You get to add a few things to your life. Depends, and you get your AARP card. Okay, those are two cool things when you turn 50. You can put on some diapers and you get your AARP card. So, you know, 50, we're 50 here. So now we've got a little age on us. We've got a little gray in our hair and we're moving things on. Okay, Kendra, now you go. Sorry, that was my 50. I think we got to say something special about, what are you going to say special about our 50th anniversary episode?
Depends. People don't start wearing Depends at 50. Anyway, what I have to say about No Spin Rodeo. Okay, our mantra is no politics, no BS. And I'm really proud of us for that. And we do the work and we do the digging and we go straight to the direct sources. And sometimes, you know, never burn a source. Sometimes we can't name them. We agree with that. But But we're very, very fortunate that after, you know, living our lives in the rodeo industry, that people will trust us with the truth. And then that way we can share the truth with everyone. And this is, you know, all the way back when I was going to journalism school, that was that that's what we're supposed to do, is dig for the facts, say here they are, and let people make up their own minds. So once again, so here we are on episode 50. And I feel like as life is so great, right in our lap comes the perfect first crossfire. And so let's just say, like, oh, Canada is the perfect working title here. Because so I think everybody in the rodeo industry knows that the Calgary Stampede just announced the addition of breakaway roping to the rodeo, to this, you know, center stage rodeo, not a side event at a different time for different money, equal money at the Stampede. And so on, you know, on the one hand, you know, the greatest outdoor, what is it? The greatest outdoor event on earth? Greatest
outdoor anyway, show on dirt? Greatest outdoor show on dirt. Okay. I think.
Well, anyway, go, you know, Calgary, we all watch Canada, Calgary. If we can't be there, we're going to watch it. It's, you know, it's one of the major impact rodeos of the year. And so to me, this brought out such an absolute mixed bag. Okay. You mentioned that we're over 50. And so I will say, like, through college, I was a breakaway roper. What I'm getting to is that I couldn't be more thrilled for the women. I'm thrilled that breakaway ropers, I'm thrilled that breakaway roping was at 500 PRCA rodeos in 2024. That is awesome. I'm thrilled that Speed Williams' daughter Haley gets to rope at Calgary for equal money, which is 309 grand per event, you know, equal to everybody else but the team ropers. That, so that's the joy and the thrill. And so the point is, people, I feel like sometimes people want to force you to pick sides. You know, it's like, if you and Donna get divorced, I'd like to think that I could be friends with both of you. Okay. So this is not a case where you have to, this is not a case where you have to pick between you get, it's love or hate, breakaway ropers or team ropers, pick one. It's not like that. So to me, and I will preface this conversation with the fact that what we're going to talk about here about the team ropers, this is not because it's team ropers. If this was the bareback riders, I would say the same thing. I would, if this was, you know, Casey Field in his prime going for $75,000 when everybody else is going for $309,000, just because there's, you know, a tiny fraction of bareback riders in the PRCA's contestant number makeup. So it's not like, oh, I love team ropers and I love every event. I love the guys in every event. I love the women. The barrel racers, the breakaway ropers, I love it all. Like rodeo, I love it. I watch every slow motion. You know, right now we're watching Houston and everybody's going to watch it after we get done here, and me included. And I love it all. I don't miss any, I don't fast forward through anything but commercials. And so anyway, so yay for the breakaway ropers. Fantastic. But on the flip side, my basic question here is, why not team roping? And I have asked this question personally since my first day at the PRCA out of college was January 12, 1987. And I've been asking this question of the powers that be for 38 years. And through, you know, Jimmy Rodriguez running the show, Les Hurdy's when I'm a kid, the Hall of Famers, you know, Dale Smith, Leo Camarillo. It never happened for them. But then here came my brothers, Jake and Clay, and then Speed and Rich, and it never happened for them. And now I'm like, okay, now Clay Tryon's kid, Tyler Tryon, is out there tearing it up at 18 or 19 years old. Will it ever happen for him? You know? And I guess what's hard for me at this point is, like, all these years, and I'm not trying to pick a fight. I I love people. I love a great rodeo, but I've never gotten a straight answer. Like, why not team roping at Calgary? Why not equal money for team ropers at Calgary? If for some reason I don't understand that they don't want team roping at the actual Stampede, why in 2025, 25 years after team roping was added to the Canadian Finals Rodeo, why are team ropers this year roping, you know, the Stampede runs July 4th through the 13th at, you know, Stampede Park, and then August 24th, a month and a half later, at a different venue, we're going to have 75,000 added for headers and 75,000 added for heelers, when every other event, including now breakaway roping, fantastic, has 309,000. And I don't understand why. And I think it's a very fair question.
Well, I would have suspected that that would have been your approach. I think we can, a little later in the show, we'll dive into the specifics of why. But let's take a step back. I want to clarify a couple things, Kendra, that you'll agree with. And that is, the team ropers are a part of the PRCA contract. That's an agreement with the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. The breakaway is an agreement with the WPRA. Let's understand that those are two separate agreements, two separate negotiations, complete separate negotiations between the Stampede and each one of those associations. That being the first point. The second point is the PRCA agreed to a four-year deal with the Calgary Stampede in their last negotiations, in which the money counted, a percentage of the money counts, and that's a four-year deal, okay? Now, I don't think when the PRCA agreed, and we'll get into team rope and being a part of it, but when they agreed to it, I don't think they saw breakaway coming in, right, and starting this conversation, but it doesn't really matter. So that's two separate deals, and we got 4 years with this. Okay, this is they're not renegotiating for 4 years now.
Right, but can I interject with the fact that okay, so to take it back a step, the Calgary Stampede left the PRCA for a few years. There's a couple things that should just be mentioned up front. So Calgary, you know, the showdown winners used to win 50,000. Then there was a time they won 100,000, but 50,000 counted. Now it's back to 50,000. But at Calgary, 80% of every dollar won counts towards the PRCA World Standings, which, you know, right now, you know, the winners of Rodeo Houston, our richest rodeo of the regular season, $2.5+ million. The winners are going to get $65,000 plus whatever they win in the Super Series and semis, and it all counts. Those are little PSs. But I think it's important to state up front that in 2019, when the Calgary came back to the PRCA, this team ropers being included was a sticking point. And how they worked it out that year was that they had a, quote, Calgary team roping at Ellensburg. Now they're having it you know, off-site, and it's called the Rocky Mountain Cup, and at the Nutrien Western Events Center in Calgary. But I think I would love to say, there's a couple sets of numbers that I think we really need to share with people right up front. And to your point, this year it is 75,000 added for headers and 75,000 added for heelers. And in 2026, it's 100,000 aside. In 2027, it's 125,000 aside. And in 2028, it's 155,000 aside. So one of the things, okay, I think we should take it back a step and share some numbers with people about the PRCA membership, because I think it's fair to mention that. And Greg, I think you have those numbers for people who want to actually, you know, lay eyes, because that's easier for them to really see it. But of the 5,944 PRCA members in 2024, 40%, this is typical, 40% of the PRCA contestant membership is team ropers. And team ropers more than double the second event, which is calf roping. And The lowest event of the standard events is bareback riding, with only 302 bareback riders in the PRCA in 2024. But something I thought of earlier today when I was thinking about us coming on here live is that, you know, the team ropers, I don't feel they're not here to make trouble. But if you look at it from those points of view and you realize, okay, in fairness, every team roper pays a set of dues, every, you know, they pay this, they both pay a pro comp fee, they both pay entry fees. You know, we've already team rippers have already gone through the burden of proof that it is two separate world championships, two separate top 15s, you know, and so to me, it's like, the team rappers aren't here to fight, but they're subsidizing some of the other events. And I will go back to when I was on the board of District 7 in high school rodeo, and the barrel racers and the pole benders subsidized the whole thing because there were no stock charges for us to pay. But, you know, Jacob Lees, who is now a top 15 bareback rider, was our literal only bareback rider in our district. And so in fairness, we wanted him to have a shot, which thank goodness we did. But it costs us over $500 per rodeo to bring one horse for one kid. And the barrel racers and the pole benders, there was no stock charge. So basically, you know, but they paid the same entry fees. So there's this, you know, sort of subsidization factor. And just so I just don't see how it is fair, you know, when you talk about economic impact on towns, you know, these are, every team has two guys who's going to buy food, two guys who are going to buy fuel. Do you disagree?
I think you've got both feet on one side of the fence here a little bit, which is good. You're pretty riled up. We can tell you got a burr in your saddle. Let me tell you something. From an events, for one, those additional team ropers in the PRCA aren't subsidizing anything but the PRCA. They have nothing to do with subsidizing an event. They don't. You know, and if you're putting on an event, Kendra, in fairness to those that put on the event, you got to pay double prize money for one product. I'm not saying that it's wrong to do. We do it. It's a great event. But the economic factors are two times the cost for one piece of product for your ticket buyer. This is just a fact. Okay.
How costs twice as much. How does one steer cost you twice as much?
I've got two sets of added money for the same event.
Okay, well, if you want to cut to the chase on that, even if I just say, you know, you and I always, we respect each other, we will agree to disagree on plenty of things, and that's fine. And that's hey, we're in America here. Everyone's entitled to an opinion. But even if your line of thinking, even if I say concede, which I don't, that your way of thinking, but I, you know, I respect that you have that viewpoint, but every event,
it's Calgary, simple math.
Okay. But do this simple math. How is it right? Even if you were right about that it's 309,000 added per every other event. Even if you add the two sides at Calgary, it's 150,000. It's less than half of every other event. How is that fair?
You got to take some debate classes here. That's not what I was talking about. We're not talking about Calgary specific. I'm talking about overall, Kendra, at rodeos. The fact is you pay double the added money at all the other, put Calgary aside for a second, double the added money for one product. I think it's worth it. We do it. I think it really highlights the skills of cowboys. But that's you can argue it if you want, and you can say I'm wrong, but it's math. If you're adding 50,000 and you do team roping and you want equal money, it costs you 100,000 to do team roping. You're right, it's one steer, and you're right, you get double the economic impact, agree. You need double the parking spaces, you need double the stalls, you've got to deal with a whole nother set of contestants, and all of that is good if that's what you want in your product. Now, But I think we're missing the bigger point here. The bigger point is, how is it that the PRCA, and I reached out to my PRCA insiders and said, question, how is it that you can approve Calgary for 4 years and let them pick what events they do? How is that? Because the Utah Days of 47 doesn't get to pick. We might not want to do an event. We might, what can we, if we're all a part of the same association, save approval, everything's the same, then what if we chose to do, bareback riding 6 months later at a different venue? Why couldn't we? There's nobody in the PRCA that can give me a very damn good answer why we shouldn't have the exact same flexibility as Calgary. Now, that's just playing by the rules. Now, Houston gets to do, you know, people that spend a lot of money and are impactful in the sport get special benefits. And it's not easy. I'm taking a step back. If you're deciding this and you're on the board of the PRCA, making these decisions isn't as simple as you and I make it sit here and sound. You know, having Calgary as a part of the fold of the PRCA is important. And it's just like our current political system where everybody's left and right and nobody talks about the overall good. Okay, the overall good. Now, don't start going team roping on me. Hold on. Of the association, but it's not fair. Calgary gets to throw one out.
Okay, Skip, I need to take a debate class. To your point, to your exact point that you just made about looking at the greater good, which is a fair point. I don't know if everybody realizes it, but going into this conversation, it should be stated that if the number is still 6%, to be a PRCA sanctioned rodeo, you give the PRCA 6% of your total payout, right? So the PRCA has a lot of motivation.
Well, technically, that 6% comes out of the added money. And I don't even know if some of the contestants realize that 6% of their money, it's their association, but 6% of their money goes to the PRCA to run it.
Okay. And so, but for that reason alone, the PRCA is highly motivated to work things out with the biggest rodeos, because that's a lot of money. And that money, in theory, at least over the years, my understanding, that goes into the general fund that, you know, pays the staff and, you know, pays for, you know, PRCA headquarters to run and function, to rule the rodeo world. Well, so they're very motivated to work that out. Like,
by the way,
Calgary back,
that's $162,000, 6% of the $2.17 million at Calgary. Just to put it in perspective, it's $162,000.
That's a lot of motivation for the PRCA to try to work something out. But also to your point, that's why we see some of the biggest rodeos having some special ground rules, right? There are concessions and compromises made, right?
There is, absolutely.
I mean,
Calgary's making a concession technically, because, and I think it was a negotiating. It's just like Trump and Putin. It was probably negotiated. But you got to give Calgary a little credit, because think about it this way. We've heard the bad side of it, but think about it this way from Calgary's perspective. They are spending the money, Kendra, to put on a whole nother event. They don't sell tickets to it. They don't generate any revenue on it. It doesn't have equal money. Agree. That's on the negative side. But they're spending the money to do a whole nother event out of their pocket just to give the team ropers $150,000, which I know that's nothing.
Okay, it's okay, but stop. Their motivation, to be fair, is not just to be, you know, good or bad people. It's, of course, every rodeo wants to be part of the NFR conversation and have a lot of impact on who makes the NFR. And there's talk every year. I mean, someone who does well at Houston, their biggest problem this year, their biggest problem is going to be getting to enough rodeos that's the minimum to satisfy the minimum requirement of rodeos needed to qualify for the NFR, because that one rodeo's impact, people will be talking all year long. There will be people who virtually qualify for this year's NFR at Houston. And Calgary, you know, the big rodeos, you know how this goes. Calgary and San Antonio historically have like, it's good, it's healthy competition, but being the rodeo that, you know, that pays the most and, you know, the first one to be the $1 million rodeo. And then they, you know, it's good for everybody to have that, that competition, but they want, it's a huge thing that they take pride in having a heavy hand, a big impact in who makes the finals. I, there are a couple of detail points that I think should be made here. Because I think they're interesting and to do with team roping at Calgary. Apparently it's like, it's been like a great tour rodeo. The tour tour points. This comes from a constant contender team roper. Most of the team ropers, I've, my phone's blown up about this, but most people don't want to be quoted by name, but which is, that's fine. But this particular one told me, okay, tour points, he said, are based on the rodeo's total payoff. And so one team that does well at Calgary will get to go to like Puyallup and Sioux Falls. And I'll give an example that, that actually happened. A couple years ago, Coleman Proctor and Logan Medlin won Calgary. They, because of it and all the points given there, they made Sioux Falls, these guys think by half of a point, and then they won Sioux Falls. So these big rodeos, they do have a, you know, a huge, huge impact and on everything. And the another note that the team ropers made to me was that typically you have to have equal money in the team roping to be a tour rodeo, but that this was part of a special negotiation. I don't know if you know anything about that, but it's sort of interesting.
That's part of the 4-year deal that they struck to get Calgary back in the fold.
Okay. A question posed by a team roper to me was, if, because it's not equal money, why not open it up and let more teams come? And that way it could be basically crowdfunded by the Cowboys. Like, they're like, why have it be so limited, you know, when we could get more teams and then make it pay better based on Cowboys entry fees? Was
the Rocky Mountain Cup limited?
Yeah, apparently it's limited, just like my understanding, it's limited just like the other events.
Well, I don't have any idea why. What are you doing? You flipping upside down on us?
Well, you guys have disappeared. There you are. Okay. So here, another little tidbit, a little note. I know I'm all over
the place. We're here.
This is all interesting, I think. Jake Clay, you know how some of these rodeos, if you don't show up, you get kicked out for 2 years? This is just a side note, but I think it's interesting. He was kicked out of Calgary, even though it's not at the Stampede, and even though it's not equal money, for 2 years, because he couldn't get a trade at the NFR Open in Colorado Springs. Well, I guess my point on stuff like this is, I do think it's interesting, but it's like concessions to be made on both sides, right? Like, why would you get kicked out of something?
Those are the rules. When you enter,
but are the rules
when you
the
enter,
same?
You need to know the rules.
Are the rules the same, even though you already broke a rule, because it doesn't have to have equal money, which is usually a requirement? So the rules were
negotiated.
Broken.
Yeah, they were. Just like the fact that Calgary doesn't have to do team roping during their regular event, and the Utah Days of 47 does to get approved. To try to justify this is impossible. Here's what it boils down to. Do we want Calgary as a part of the PRCA fold or not? Are we going to take their deal or not? Same thing with Ukraine. Is Ukraine going to do what Russia says or not? Or are they going to stay in war? Sometimes you're faced with negotiating and deciding, is taking the deal with all the problems you very well articulated, or do we not take the deal, right? And you just got to 80% of 150,000, well, 150,000 for the team ropers for me is better than nothing. And if they don't like Calgary and they don't like being drawn out for 2 years, then don't go. Okay. Just don't go. It doesn't work for you because it's not a good fit.
To your point on the money, for at least 5 years now, I've been told by many, many very reliable sources that it's not a matter of the money. There is someone who was instrumental in getting team roping added to the CFR 25 years ago, has a standing offer to make the money, make the pot right for the team ropers. So it's not. So I understand.
Let me make sure I heard you right. Okay. There's someone out there that's willing to give Calgary the money to make it equal money, but Calgary's not taking it. Is that what you're saying?
If the team ropers can rope at the regular, at the Stampede.
At the Stampede. Okay.
That is, and it's a number of long time, very trusted sources telling me this. And perhaps we can ask our guests
I think this is a good thing. I'm going to text our guest and have them jump on, because I think we're probably to the point where some of this stuff that we're talking about could be answered. So we're semi high tech, but we'll wait a second and see if our guest is able to join us, because I don't want to announce that our guest is coming and then have to say our guest can't get in. So we'll wait a minute, but we hope to have what we're going to call our Canadian insider join us that might clarify some of the stuff. But while we're waiting, just to get some facts out there, which I thought were interesting, and I don't have, forgive me, because I know you asked me, Kendra, and I didn't have time to get to this, but to qualify for the breakaway roping, good thing, qualify for the breakaway, I think this is interesting. It's 30 ropers total. 24 spots go to the top-ranked breakaway ropers from the WPR and the Canadian Pro Rodeo standings. I don't know how that's mixed up, but six of the 30 are going to, you know, you can go enter an event and get in. So that seems interesting to me. The second thing about it is, I'll give you an example. The Days of 47 Rodeo. Hello. So our Canadian expert, Mr. Keenan Vine, welcome to the show. Welcome, Keenan. Let me finish my thought and then we'll move on. But I wanted to say this, Kendra. We're in negotiations, the Utah Days of 47 Rodeo, with the WPRA. We already have sanctioning. We've got our deal done with the PRCA for 2025, okay? We're in negotiations with the WPRA. They don't like the way we're paying out our $80,000. They want to tell us how to pay it out. And we're at a point where we're negotiating that, okay? And so, you know, it just goes to show you, you're dealing with two separate organizations. And my argument is, well, if the breakaway ropers can get 309,000 divided by 30 of them, then why would you care how we split up our measly 80,000 at the Days of 47? Anyway, so
can I, before you introduce Keenan, and I apologize, I think it's important, because we said how the breakaway ropers qualify for Calgary. I just wanted to say that I got this straight from a very high up at the PRCA, that the PRCA events qualify for Calgary. It's top 15 from last year, 5 from the Canadian Professional Rodeo Association, also from 2024. And the rest are current world standings, 15 dropping down to fill the spots. So that looks to me like a total of 35. Bring Keenan in, but I think that's important for us to clarify how people get in.
Greg, are we technically, oh, look at that, man, we're just killing it right here today. If you're watching us on YouTube Live, you see the very beautiful, skinny, nice Canadian Keenan Vine. Welcome to the show, Keenan. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. And I've been watching live on YouTube, and it's been a very, very invigorated conversation, I'll say.
Yeah.
Inspired. It's, we like to say inspired.
I've got other words for it, but it's okay. Well, okay. So you're very familiar with the Canadian pro rodeo scene and stuff like that. So you've heard us, you've heard some of our conversation. I'm going to start out by having you reflect on our conversation. Are there any points that you heard that, from your perspective as being kind of up there and knowing the game, that should be corrected in what we've said so far? Anything you heard?
No, I think, you know, the points on either side are correct. And as far as I, you know, am familiar with what's going on with the Calgary Stampede and any other rodeos in Canada. The numbers are fairly accurate, and you know, I mean, I'm not privy to the exact details of their contract and the years and the terms and all that kind of stuff, but I think you guys are probably pretty close to being on point from what I know. You know, and the only thing that I will say, just this is going back to being the rodeo administrator for Canadian Pro Rodeo Association for however many years, is I would just add to the comment about the 6% coming, you know, off of that 6%, don't forget, is the added money from the committee and then the money that the contestants put in for their entry fees, minus 6% from that total before they get paid out.
Correct.
And I feel like that we have gone a long time in rodeo without somebody from the contestants saying, wait a second, so my total lifetime earnings, I could add 6% more than that?
That's a whole different podcast. Right. You're right. That's a whole different podcast.
I'm just saying, to clarify, it's actually 6% of the total pot. And then there's also approval fees, and you also pay entry, you know, administration on every entry fee.
Hey, way to stand up for the Cowboys, Keenan. Good for you. Because by the way, if you work for the CPRA or the PRCA, that's who you work for, is the Cowboys. Go ahead.
The interesting conversation to that, which I think stems from, you know, this conversation you guys have been having, is you're talking about making deals with rodeos. You're talking about what's in it for the Cowboys. You have two parties here. You have the owners and you have the players. And the associations don't represent either equally. There's no players association and there's no owners association. There's the PRCA and the CPRA. So do you represent the Cowboys if you're the PRCA, or do you represent the rodeos, Kendra?
Because they're both members, is your point.
Yeah, and without the Cowboys at the rodeos, you don't have a rodeo. Without the rodeos, you don't have anywhere for the Cowboys to go. So,
I have to redirect us, because this is another podcast. We'll bring you on, Keenan. That's another podcast, because the way I look at it is, to put a button on this, the contestants, it's an association. So if they're not aware or they're not paying attention to the 6% deal, then they should fix it. Done with that. Now, I got a straightforward question for you, Keenan. Why, from your position in Canada, why does the Calgary Stampede refuse to let Team Ropin play in their arena?
I think there's probably a number of reasons, or what maybe the reasoning is behind it. You know, and again, this is kind of going back to historical knowledge and what, you know, what I know and what I know from history of team roping in Canada. You know, there's a group of team ropers that have been fighting for a long time for team roping to be considered a major event within rodeo in Canada. That only happened, you know, let's just say in the last couple decades. Jeff Robson and a number of guys up here really fought for that. Lyle Kurtz is another one that's been heavily involved in those kind of discussions. So, you know, that fast forward to this exact day and time, if you were talking about it straight out of economics, I would say yes, because if they brought team roping in and they made it equal money on both sides, you know, 600,000. So that could be one of the reasons. Another one of the reasons is adding an event to the rodeo and logistics and operations. And I know that sounds probably menial, but when you've had to be the ones organizing those types of events and finding space for everybody and the ins and outs, that's another reason. And then I would say, you know, last but not least, and again, we talked about this, you know, you already talked about this, and Tommy, Joe, and I are both coming at it from, we'll say, the event production standpoint, or even the economics of it, is, you know, the Calgary Stampede, as an observation, has a full grandstand. So, adding another event with expense, but you can't see a return on that event. Right. And I'm just looking at that as a show. I'm not looking at it as a looking at the holistic side of the sport and what's good and what's bad for it. You know, because okay, then the argument could be made on the other side of saying, like you said, bringing the team ropers in and the community. And I mean, I argue about team roping all the time, saying it's the relatable event in rodeo. It's the event where if you tuned in to the Golf Channel and so Tiger Woods is wearing a Nike golf club, you're going to buy Nike golf club. It's the same with the team roping. Sells a lot of Western products, right?
So right. And there aren't very many bull riders in the stands, but there are a lot of recreational team ropers without a doubt. But also, okay, so to say what's interesting about this conversation is here we are talking about team roping and breakaway roping. By the way, the team rippers and the barrel racers got equal money at the NFR the same time after a boycott situation, but that's also another podcast. But on this, okay, so if you say, my understanding is that the perfs at Calgary are not like the NFR where it's got to be exactly, you know, 2 hours and 10 minutes or whatever, but more like 2 hours and 45 minutes or something. And we know that there are, you know, the novice events, and that's great. You know, there are Indian dancers, that's great. All these things that make it cool, but they're going to make time for breakaway roping. And so then it makes, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm. Well,
you know,
again,
yeah, breakaway throws a wrench in this.
I would only go based off of my opinion as a person putting on the show and the economics of it and the timing and all that kind of stuff, and say that if I was going to do it and I had to spend the money on it anyways, I'd probably try to consolidate some of my expenses and just do it in the rodeo arena that I'm already paying for judges and announcers and timers and working the ground up and bringing a stock contractor who's bringing the cattle now for, you know, a few events. If it were me, that's what I would do. And, you know, to draw a comparison, I would say we actually looked at that for the breakaway roping at the Canadian finals when it was in Red Deer, and they started doing the breakaway roping in the afternoon in the building by itself, no tickets, no, you know, and the breakaway ropers have to add their own money. They went out and found sponsors and added their own money. And then after the first or second year, we said, well, like, this isn't good for the economics of our event, having an expense in the afternoon for security and for concessions and for all these things. Why don't we just bring it into the rodeo? And one thing I will mention about that, though, is that the breakaway ropers are still finding their own prize money for the Canadian Finals Rodeo, and it's not equal money. So,
but on that point, it's sure a strong understanding of mine from a lot of team ropers in Canada, Canadians and Americans, that there is someone with a hand in the air to make the pot right with the team roping money. Have you ever heard anything about that? Because I've heard it for years that there's this one person.
There is a couple strong supporters of team roping and one in particular. And I wouldn't doubt if that were the case, or at least that was the offer. I would say it probably also goes back to Tommy Joe's mention of the working out of all the terms and working out a deal with the PRCA. And don't forget that the breakaway roping is a deal that was made with the WPRA. I think a lot of times too, like, even if you're an insider, like the two of you and a few of us in the sport and maybe are in the know, or you know the people that are working at these places, there's still stuff that maybe doesn't get made public, or maybe is a plan for a couple years down the road. And for whatever reason, the cards aren't all laid on the table for the general public. And I think, you know, I'm not saying anything that I know anything that nobody else knows, but I'm saying that there could be a longer term play on this for the team roping. It's just not aligning with the conversation and the deal that was done with the PRCA and the WPRA separately for those two events.
Right. Well, I've got a quick question. Go ahead, Kendra.
It's okay. The first time I worked at the PRCA was starting in 1987. I think these inter-family conversations, Murray Linthicum and Rocky Dallin, were they won. I typed those two names in the results so many back in the day when PRCA Media used to have to type in from mailed in and faxed in results. And we used to have to come up with the world standings and all that. But I think about a guy, I don't know Rocky Dallin personally, but his daughter, Jenna Dallin, is out there at the Winter Rodeos breakaway roping now. And I think about, you know, conversations in houses like that, like the dad never got his day, you know, at Calgary, but hey, his daughter might this year, or, or like even, okay, Zeke Thurston, you know, is a headliner in the bronc riding, but he's got cousins, you know, Ryan Schechberg, his steer wrestling cousin, just won his set at Houston, and their cousin, Bo Cooper, you know, just has been to the NFR in the calf roping. And I just, you know, also on this stuff, you know, I feel like, you know, having been there at Slack at Colorado Springs when the Bulldoggers and the team ropers stood up for the calf ropers, I just feel like, you know, this year at the Winter Rodeos, there have been special rules for the steer wrestling. And my point is, I would just love to see, like, cowboys stick together, kind of like all the way back to the cowboy turtles, you know, sticking together, because you don't really know. It could be your event next. You're laughing, but I'm saying, like, Jake Barnes, I was talking to Jake Barnes the other day. Okay, Jake Barnes in 1980 makes his first NFR, and he is a kid, and he doesn't start until North Platte with Alan Bach in June. They get to the Cow Palace, which is the last rodeo of the regular season, and there's a PRC board meeting at the Cow Palace in San Francisco to decide whether or not to let this kid from Bloomfield, New Mexico, compete at the NFR because he hasn't had his card the appropriate number of days to be eligible. And Dean Oliver on the PRC board in 1980 gets out his pocket knife and is cleaning his fingernails and says, boys, we best be letting this kid rope. If you can rope your ass off for 6 months and beat everybody and get there. You know what? I'm just saying, events standing up for other events is.
So are you calling for a coup?
I'm not calling for a coup. I'm saying,
let me ask you something. If you were the queen of the PRCA, you're queen, you're a dictator. Whatever Kendra wants matters, happens. Nobody has a say. And here's what's presented in front of you. This many events at $300,000 for this many disciplines, less this discipline. Or none of it. Let's say that's the negotiation.
Everybody so wants you as the queen. No. Don't put words
hold
in my
on.
Mouth.
That's kind of what you're saying.
No, everybody wants Calgary. Everybody wants Calgary. Nobody doesn't want Calgary. Come on now.
Not what I'm saying, though. It was a negotiation. I understand, but you're saying, you know, maybe the Cowboys ought to stand up and just say we're not going because there's not team.
I did not say that.
But that's what they did in Colorado Springs. That's what they did. That's what they did.
That's what they did to get equal money at the NFR, too.
All right, let's change the subject. I've got another question for you, Kenyon. So you said the stands are full. Why would we add the team open? So I've got the same question. Stands are full. Why are you adding the breakaway roping? Why are they adding the breakaway roping? Stands are full on your argument.
Yeah, you know, I guess my point there was the economics are how do you add expense without seeing where you can add, you know, revenue if you're looking at it black and white. But then you also have to add in the the intangibles and the current culture and politics and all of these things that I think, again, as event producers, we all have to look at. And I think right now, looking at the event of rodeo as a show or a sport, it's uneven in equality of men and women, or, you know, ethnicities, even for that matter. So how do we look at bringing that up, and how do we make those things even out? And I think that would be, if I was the Calgary Stampede, which I'm not, and if I was, you know, Rodeo Houston and Salt Lake City and a few other rodeos that have had to really put a lot of money on the line to add breakaway roping, that could be the only reason why I could see it coming, is because it's a fast, exciting event, and it's a ladies only event. So
those are good reasons. You know, those are good reasons. It's good reasons.
I'm so for the women, and it's not lost on me that, you know, the first time I went to Houston was in the Astrodome, and the freaking Judds were the concert. That's how long ago it was. And it's extraordinary, but what we all know is that, you know, their order of events is different and it's intentional. And it's not lost on me that the last three events, as the crowd starts filing in for that night's concert, is barrel racing, breakaway roping, and bull riding. I mean, okay, that's just a fact of it. So when you talk about politics in Calgary, what a lot of people don't know, and you talk about the culture, there, I don't know what specific things rodeo most strongly has to fight in Calgary, but I have a pretty good hunch.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, we're in Canada. I would take that across the whole country. We're California, right? So we're up against it all the time. But I wouldn't say that that's going to be the biggest factor in whether to do an event or not to do an event per se. You know, personally, I'm a storyteller. So I like telling the story of team roping just as much as any other event of, you know, if you're at home on the ranch and you need to doctor a steer, you don't jump off your horse and tackle it down. You don't even rope it and usually tie it up and then doctor it. You head it and you heal it. That's a great story to be able to tell an uneducated public about why this event exists. So, you know, I mean, that's just from my storytelling side of things. So there's a lot of ways, again, that you can spin that to make it fit, right? But again, I think there's so many factors that go into these types of decisions at these events. And again, not to mention that I would say, if you just start drawing comparisons of what rodeos have and don't have and all these things, for whatever reason, then you're going to go down a rabbit hole of that. Like, you know, same thing, like why the 3 second, no, you know, 3 second rule at Calgary and maybe at Salt Lake City, but not at Salinas that probably desperately needs that rule or whatever it is. There's always these exemptions, right? So I think, again, it might be a long-term plan. And also might be that rodeo associations are very cyclical and knee-jerk year to year, and they don't actually have a 5 to 10 year plan that they're going, hey, on our strategic plan, let's align all the rodeos so that they're the exact same and they play by the exact same rules. Because Tommy Joe's deal in Salt Lake City is up this year. So he's going to renegotiate for another 3 to 5 years. But Calgary's isn't up until next year. And then Houston's is up the next year after that, right? So Tommy Joe and I have sat in a room and tried to get the top 10 rodeos in the world to do one thing the same, have a television broadcast the same. And it was impossible because every single one of those rodeos had a different term with either the PRCA or the broadcast company they were with, right? So I think that's another element to it, right? Is that all of these are starting and ending. And just like cowboys' careers, they're starting and ending. And what's best for them in the twilight of their career is not the same as what's best for them when they're a, you know, first-year pro, right? And those are the people that sit on the boards of these associations. So it's called...
Well, we're running... Unfortunately, we're running really long and we're going to try to trim this down. Keenan, thank you for joining us. Very good insight. If you're willing, we'll have you back to have further conversations on not just Canadian rodeo, but other stuff. And I wanted to say a positive for you. When you guys become the 51st state, you will no longer be an immigrant when you come down here and work. So that's think true. About that. And, they won't be able, ICE won't be able to get you. You'll be good.
We'll be the biggest state. We'll have the most resources, the most people, and 2 coastlines. So we'll run America.
You guys are way too passive. To run America.
One thing I will say, this is my last comment, and this has nothing to do with anything but a tie when you're talking about the family. So Rocky Dallin's sister is married to my cousin, Jeff Quam, who... made the Canadian finals multiple times in the team roping and was one of the first team ropers to go to the Canadian finals. Also roped with Mel Coleman at the Canadian finals, world champion saddle bronc rider. And his son, Grady, is also a Canadian finals team roper and talented. So I just as much as anybody want to see team roping succeed and see opportunities for, you know, my cousin Grady and all the rest of the young kids coming up, just like all the rest of the events. And I think it's important for them to be able to see a light at the end of the tunnel and progress, right? So there's been so many good things happen in the sport in the last decade and more, but I think there's more good things to come.
I agree. And I do agree. There's so much to be thankful for. I totally agree. And then I just think, like, if you're at the dinner table tonight at Speed Williams' house and he's saying to his daughter, "This is so great. I'm so happy for you, Breakaway at Calgary." And then he's saying to his son, "Gabe, sorry, son, you know, may or may not happen in your lifetime, in your career, whatever." It's just hard. So, sure. But your honesty is so much appreciated. So thank you very, very much.
Thanks for joining
us, Keenan. Thanks for having me on. All right.
Catch you later.
Thanks, Keenan.
Well, yep. This, we went a long time. We got some menshastery.com and we covered a lot of ground. There's a lot of things to talk about. I think that the takeaway for me, and then I'll let you wrap it up, Kendra. The takeaway from me is adding more opportunity is always better than taking opportunity away. And sometimes adding that opportunity comes with some costs and some downside. It does. And those it's not saying it's good for those that suffer on the downside or the cost of it. But still, I think we both agree that going up is better than staying the same or getting out.
I agree with you. And I mean, progress is always appreciated. It's just sort of hard to understand, like, hey, Breakaway is booming. It's fabulous. But like, generations of awesome people in another event are still waiting, you know? And so I'm like, my bottom line is heartfelt congratulations to the Breakaway ropers. And I will keep asking all the questions. And, you know, I just feel like on this one, in the 38 years I've been asking the same question, I don't feel like I've really gotten an answer that I can go, oh, okay, that's why, you know, no one has ever said there's diplomatic answers, there's rude answers, there's all these different answers. And by the way, those chaps behind me, those are Ty Murray's. It's like, I truly love all of rodeo. I'm not just like, oh, timed event girl and hate. No, I would take a bullet for, you know, Casey Field, whatever. I mean, I watch all of it, you know. And by the way, not to change the subject too much, but I'm back to reading Rocker's Blonde Haired Lips again. Are you at Houston? that's for another day. But anyway,
that's for another day. Well, okay. Remember now, we're going weekly. This is our second one. This is hard for us. So we expect you to listen, and we expect you to get your butts on YouTube and watch if we're going to do this. So next week is feedback. We'll be doing we'll just be talking about different episodes, and it's mainly feedback. Greg, before we sign off for today, would you make sure everybody knows how to send their feedback on today's show to us? We'll talk about it next Tuesday live. How do they get to us, Greg?
Yeah, you can send your feedback to nospinfeedback@gmail.com, or you can text it to 817-668-2395.
So on the feedback, though, we do have the access, and we're super happy to do the digging and get back to people. And that's like awesome and, you know, great component. But we're also going to be doing some major, major chatter about Houston next week. And it'll be fresh, and we'll have some cool, fun stuff about that. So anyway, until then, thanks.
Until then, thank you, guys. This was episode 50 of No Spin Rodeo. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Be safe. Kendra, I love you. See you later.
I'll be back.
We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.